Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Well, we are still have, a treat today on Lantern Rescue as we have the team from Lantern Rescue in the studio again. And today, how neat, we're gonna let you share in what it, we have sort of a unique team that's here this morning with us. It's Ren and Tori. Now, Ren, you've heard her several times on the show before. She's certainly a tactical person, you know, big when it comes to understanding some of the ways that we can, you know, help out with human trafficking, that kind of thing. But you don't know the story behind the story, so we're going to kind of go there today. And what you don't know is that Ren was in the Marine Corps, and she was in the Marine Corps with her good friend Tori, who is actually on the show with us today. So I'm sure, like me, when you think of, you know, the Marine Corps, two women, the only thing I can picture in my mind is Private Benjamin. So I'm guessing that, yeah, they're looking at me like, you know, Ren's a little bit younger, and she never saw it. You know, she didn't even know maybe, you know, anything about that. But nonetheless, two women in the Marine Corps brings up all sorts of pictures. And if you were to see these two young ladies, they're absolutely beautiful. And so they just don't look like what I picture of Marines. Like, you know, what are you thinking here? So, but Ren, what was that like?
Being in the Marine Corps?
Oh, yeah.
It was great. It was a great experience. You know, my dad was also in the Marine Corps, and we have a lot of military and tactical in our background. So it's definitely a path I knew I'd go down eventually. I took quite a different path than my dad did. It's funny because I remember I got out of college. I had my bachelor's, and I called my dad one day because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I called my dad one day, and I was like, "Yeah, you know, I think I'm thinking about joining the military." And he's like, "Okay, well, this is how I want you to talk to him. I want you to talk to the Air Force first, and then the Navy, and then the Army, and then your very last choice is the Marine Corps. And no matter what you do, make sure you're an officer." And I said, okay, cool. About a week later, I call him and I go, "I enlisted in the Marine Corps." And he goes, "No, it wasn't reverse psychology. No. Like, is this a joke?" And, you know, now he's, you know, he came to my graduation and he got all nostalgic, and he loved it while I was in the Marine Corps. But, yeah, it was kind of funny how I ended up in, and I think my career choice was kind of an interesting one in the Marine Corps as well. You know, I signed as an open contract because I was in the Marine Corps, you know, not the brightest crayon. And so I signed an open contract because my recruiter needed that female contract, right? And I trusted him. You know, my dad wasn't real thrilled about that decision either. So he's like, "I promise I'll get you a good job. I promise. My dad's
like,
"That was
in Private Benjamin too."
Yeah, this, you know, I'm just fulfilling that apparently. But my recruiters, they make all kinds of promises, right? So I get there and I end up becoming a Russian linguist. So I got one of the best contracts you can get in the military. It came with a top secret clearance, an amazing school up in Monterey, California. And honestly, one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. I got to learn the Russian language. I got to go overseas a lot. And I got to meet my best friend, Tori, who is also a linguist.
Yes, I am. My story is a little bit different than Ren's over there. I don't have any family in the military, actually, at all. But I did know since the time I was in eighth grade that I was going to join the Marine Corps.
Really?
I just always wanted to be different than everyone around me. I was just that kid, you know? Whatever everyone else was doing, you know, you want chocolate, I want vanilla, for no other reason than I just want to do whatever, you know, no one else is doing. So that's what I decided. My dad, at one point, I think I was in 11th grade, and you know, it was about that time that to get really serious about it. And he was like, "You know, have you thought about the Coast Guard?" And I was like, "No, I have not, actually." I wanted to do whatever was hardest. You know, I wanted to prove something. So at the end of the day, I'm really happy that I joined the Marine Corps and not another branch. But I also didn't sign as open contract. I asked for the hardest thing. I went to the recruiting station and I said, what's the hardest thing that you can give me? And so I went and I took this test to see how well you can learn another language. And I passed. I don't know how, but I did. And so then I went to the same school as Ren. That's where we met. And I learned the national language of Pakistan, which is Urdu, very similar to Hindi. So I learned that language. And we just ended up at the same We ended up at Camp Pendleton together. So yeah, our friendship just continued.
You know, I want to say something else because I think this really speaks to Tori's heart and she's humble about it. And it's also just funny. So when Tori enlisted in the Marine Corps, she thought she was signing a volunteer contract for 5 years and did not realize that you get paid in the military.
That's very true. Didn't know you get an education afterwards. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I also didn't know. So when I graduated boot camp and then combat training, I showed up to the school in Monterey and, you know, people had been asking me, are you going to go home for Christmas? And I said, well, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I'm in California and, you know, my parents are in Pennsylvania. I don't have a car. I don't have any money. And they said, yeah, you do. Did you get that red card after boot camp? And I said, oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't even know where it was, to be honest. Probably somewhere at the bottom of my sea bag. So they were like, yeah, if you, you know, you look online, you're going to have some money on there unless you spent it all. And I was like, I didn't even know that I got any money. I got paid for that. I had no idea. Anyway, I was able to go home for Christmas.
Wow. So, Ren, I'm curious, did you sense God in this somewhere along the line that this was going to train you up in something that he would use later? Or was there... You know, I guess, did you have a relationship with God as you entered the Marine Corps?
Yeah, I did. I was raised in a very devout family. Our family is essentially, I think we're like 65% of the population at our church, you know, and I grew up in that world. So yeah, definitely. And the military, depending on which side you're in, it can really foster, you know, a relationship with God there.
Really?
In the Marine Corps? Yeah.
Well, that's, I'm interested in that. What, how does being in the Marine Corps foster
I mean,
your relationship?
There's a famous saying that there's no atheists in foxholes. So, you know, you kind of, in the military, you develop really great relationships with people and you have to trust the people next to you, but you also have to have this peace knowing that any day could be your last. And, you know, that really helps to strengthen your relationship and open the lines of communication with God.
Yeah, which is tactical.
Yeah.
And Tori, how about you?
Yeah, I was raised in a non-denominational Christian family. My parents are a big part of the church. And, you know, I went twice a week, every week until I was about 17. I left for boot camp when I was 18. And I just always felt this calling to do something, you know, better, something bigger for the world. And like I said, I always wanted to do something that was different than everyone else around me. And I just felt like even though no one around me was being called to, you know, to go into the military or to do something bigger, I just felt like that was my calling to do something bigger and better in the world. So I followed that and I always did.
Did you feel the same way as Ren that the Marine Corps actually fostered your relationship with God, grew your faith?
A little bit, yeah, especially because I was no longer at home with my family anymore, you know, being taken to church because that was more of a guided relationship, whereas now I was kind of just thrown out into the world on my own. So it really, you know, I had to call upon myself, you know, I had to go out there and grow my faith on my own instead of with my mother and my father.
Yeah, now your faith is
yes.
something you're going to have yes. to experience on your own. So one day you get this call from Ren, right? I guess you're, and she says, guess what?
Actually, there is no call with Ren ever. She is the most humble friend that I have, and she does big things all the time. And I'm never surprised anymore. At first, I was surprised. I was like, you know, Ren's doing this. She's doing that. You know, before this was even started, you know, just other things that she was doing in her life. And then, you know, after the 10th big thing that she did in her life as a 20-something-year-old, I was like, I'm just not surprised anymore. So, you know, when she founded this nonprofit organization, I was like, of course she did. And did I get a call? No. It's just happening because she goes out there and she just makes it happen all the time. And it is so humbling. And she is just that person that just proves to the world and to me that you can always do more. There's always more to be done and the time will be made. You know, now's the time. It's not going to happen in 5 years or in 10 years or, you know, if it's something that you want to do. And it's truly something that you're called upon to do, you have to make it happen. And she doesn't ever feel the need to have that be a phone call. You know, she doesn't really have time for that. She's just doing it.
Well, so from your perspective, Ren, what was that like, that communication between you and your friend?
Yeah, so I had been involved in anti-human trafficking efforts for a long time and educated my friends on it and stuff like that. And when I really founded Lantern, we were looking for people that were able to help us from a distance, because she's not able to come with. And, you know, there's the team's very small. You see, there's four of us, but we still need that help back home. We go into these places. They're very dangerous. They're very dark. And we don't want to be there without anyone knowing what's going on. So from our background in the military and the work that we did in the intelligence field, she had some experience that she was able to kind of assist us with and help us. So when we're overseas, and I think I kind of voluntold her, but I knew I did that. It sounds harsh.
No,
but
that's a new word for me. Voluntold her.
Oh, voluntold.
Oh, let us tell you.
Yeah. Voluntold is, our military listeners will definitely know what that means.
They'll appreciate it.
But yeah, I was like, you want to do this, right? You know, you're going to do this. So I knew she wouldn't say no. I knew she always had a passion. Every adventure I went on, she was always wanting to know how she could help. Could she, you know, come with whatever it was? And so when we started Lantern, we were overseas and we wanted someone to be watching over us from back home. So we have software where she's able to track me personally and she can track the rest of the team as well. So when we go on raids at night, I'll let her know, like, hey, we're leaving, and she has the plan. She's got an idea of where we're going to be hitting, and she'll track us. And after the raid, I'll message her and tell her how many victims were rescued, at which location. She drops the coordinates and she watches us. But I know that's a lot to ask from somebody, because she is one of my best friends, and I know it's emotionally draining, and I have to make sure that she has the emotional space available for this, because I mean, she can tell you firsthand, sometimes she doesn't hear from me. And that's, she always asks, how long do I not hear from you before I start calling people to find out, are you guys alive? How long do I wait? And I really put that on her shoulders, and I can't thank her enough for doing that for us.
Wow. I mean, yeah. That's phenomenal. So, you know, right when we have you where we want you, where your heart's being pricked, like, what would that be like to be called at 3 o'clock in the morning? Your best friend tells you, you know, if you don't hear from, you know, all that you were just described, what does that feel like? What does that feel like? What would you be praying? What would you be saying? We're going to find out what Tori has to say about that when we come back. But in the meantime, you know, this is an experience that God's taking us all through in all so many different ways. And I like this. Tell me the word again.
Voluntold.
Voluntold. Now, I think God's done that to me. I'm pretty sure I've been voluntold several, like, you're going to do the Christian Car Guy show. I think I've heard that. So what's God voluntolding you right now that you got to pray for the team at Lantern Rescue? When we come back, we're going to hear Tori's side of this and some really cool stories. So stay tuned. You got so much more coming up on Lantern Rescue. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery, and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. Welcome back to Lantern Rescue, where, oh my goodness, we have such a treat for you today. We have the whole team actually here in the studio with us, but we're specializing with Ren and Tori. Ren, of course, is one we normally hear from. Well, we did not know there was a Tori in the background that was also in the Marine Corps and also apparently speaks a number of languages and is a tactical part of the team. You know, I think about how many churches are out there that have that person in the background that's praying for the pastor or praying for somebody when they're going out to witness to somebody. There are somebody that you know, you got a best friend that's out there that knows your heart, understands your heart, and is praying along those lines. So, you know, I'm very curious, Tori, you know, the time that you recall the most, like, you got this and, like, you're going where? You're going to do what? Does it come to mind?
Yeah. So like I said before, it didn't really surprise me. You know, no matter where she's going, it wasn't a surprise. But like we did talk about how I was voluntold to do some work. I mean, I had been asking, or not really asking for work, but I had told her all along, you know, whatever I can do for you, I'm not sure what that is, but if you ever think of something that I can do, please just let me know and I will, you know, I will be there for you and your team. And so when she did reach out to me, she was already over there and she said, you know, this is what we need you to do for us. We need you to watch over us. You know, and I said, okay, what do I need? And she's not always able to communicate with me right when I needed her to, or when I wanted her to get everything set up. So that was a little bit stressful, but it was never something that I was, you know, I was so happy to be doing it. So I just said, you know, what do I need to have downloaded on my computer? What do I need to have on my phone? What's the app I'm using? And I kind of just learned as best as I could the little amount of time that I had and just hoped that I was doing it the way that I was supposed to. So for a couple nights, I was watching over them, and there are definitely a lot of emotions that went through my mind, but I never brought them up to Ren because I think that that would be a selfish thing to do, because she's the one over there with her team, and even more than her and the emotions that she has to carry around, the victims that she's rescuing, you know, the emotions that they're carrying. So, you know, who am I to be over here in the States safe, you know, in my apartment in California, and to say, you know, I'm really sad and I'm scared for you, you know? So of course I am, but I don't think that that's right.
What was making you sad?
It's a scary thing to have, you know, my best friend over there.
I mean, there was obviously something she was telling you along the lines, and I don't want you to share anything that you shouldn't, but there was something that she's
saying. I think it was what I'm not being told, because like I said before, she doesn't, you know, she keeps a lot to herself and she just does what she has to do. And I know that she's that person that just, she does what needs to be done every single time. And I think it's that alone, the not knowing more than the knowing. The more that I know, I think that the better that I feel. And
can I put it this way, maybe, because knowing Ren just a little bit, like, you can tell by what she's not saying how serious the situation is.
Exactly. And sadness for the victims. And I know that we've talked about before, you know, she can't always get to them. She can't, you know, it's not possible to reach every victim every single time. And that breaks my heart as well. And I know that it breaks her heart too, and everyone on the team. So it's just a lot, you know, there's a lot of weight to it. And then there would be times where the tools weren't working properly. So as I was tracking them, you know, I'm not really in contact with her too much. You know, she contacts me when she can, but I can't just call her on the phone and say, hey, how are you doing? So I'm watching this. And the first night I had seen that she was not where everyone else was, according to my screen, even though when I found out later that she really was with everyone else. So my heart is over here pounding because, you know, I'm just trusting that she's okay, or hoping that she's okay, really, and so, trying not to let these thoughts consume me.
Yeah, to go into that scenario there, with your military background, obviously you're aware of things when you're looking at a tracking situation that we wouldn't be aware of.
Yes.
I wouldn't, Robbie wouldn't, you know, doesn't have a clue. So you're looking at this screen, and when you see this, that she's being isolated, what's going through your mind?
A lot of things are going through my mind. I mean, there's me hoping that that's what she's supposed to be doing, and hoping that I'm not supposed to be making a phone call, because I didn't even know at this point, because it was so last minute, what I'm supposed to do if something were to happen and she is taken away. So, you know, that was a thought that I was like, oh no, I didn't even ask that question. You know, if you were to become isolated from everyone else, you know, what do I do in that situation? Because it was so last minute. So I'm just sitting there like waiting to hear from her next. And I did every time. And I mean, I did find out the next day that they happened to be all together. And so there was just a glitch in the system, I guess. And I mean, it was emotional every time that they would stop somewhere. You know, I would get texts from her and they would say, you know, we got this many victims, or, you know, we recovered this many weapons. And it's just, it was this crazy feeling because I already knew that these things are happening, right? You know, I was in the Marine Corps. I know that this happens. And I know what Ren has told me in the past. You know, I know the line of work that she's in, but to actually be a part of it, even though I wasn't even over there, but to watch her move on a screen. And then when she stopped somewhere to say, you know, we got this many victims, it just, I can't explain the feeling that, you know, goes
so
through me.
At that moment, I'm guessing with your faith, you're praying, right?
Yeah.
So what does that prayer sound like?
Well, I think it was mentioned before on a different episode of the show, but it's just, it's more like a constant thought. So it's just at all times, you know, when she's stopping, it's like, oh God, please let her, you know, be safe. Or when she was isolated, it's like, please again, let her be safe. Or when the team is heading back home, when she said, you know, we're done for the night, I'm like, please let them get there safe. And it's just, it's not just one time, because there's constantly different things happening. And even when they would get back and she would say, you know, we're staying for the rest of the night, we're back safe. There are definitely times I didn't even talk to her about this, but like I would leave my computer open and I would just like stare at it, hoping like that they're going to be there and stay there the whole time, because they rescued who they needed to rescue. That doesn't really mean that they're out of harm's way or that somebody's not going to come after them for, you know, what they did. Like you talked about before, you know, you're taking money from these people technically, you know, you're putting people out of business. So yeah, it's a scary thing. It's emotional for sure. But I also know that what she's doing, it needs to be done. Somebody has to do it. And you can't let fear get in the way of that.
So, Ren, I'm curious. I have a sense the Marine Corps instilled some part of this in you, right?
It obviously
instilled in your dad, but now it instilled it in you. Can you kind of, because I wasn't in the Marine Corps, what do you feel like foundationally the Marine Corps was doing for you in that way God was training you?
In the way when I'm overseas with the victims?
I mean, as far as running into harm's way.
Oh. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's that like obedience to orders mindset. And it's funny now because I used to have a boss, you know, I used to have a Marine in charge of me, but now I'm the boss. So I just have to give myself the orders and you can't be afraid. You just have to do it. And yeah, you just kind of, you go for it. One of the things is maybe a little off topic, but it goes kind of into what she's saying. And us just being at peace while we're over there is when we do leave on these missions, when we leave for them, at least from my perspective, the goodbyes that we say are never for us. It's never to make me feel better. It's a goodbye. When I say goodbye to, you know, Tori and I get on the plane, it's a goodbye for her. Because if something happens to me over there and my life has ended, I'm not the one that's going to be in pain. That's her. So I want the last moments to be for her, for my husband, for my family. When I say bye to them, goodbyes are never for us. It's for the families. We want that last moment, if that is the last moment they ever see us. So us going over there at peace, knowing that we said everything we wanted to say, if this is the last one, this is the last one. And that's kind of a mindset that a lot of people in the military have as well, is you just have to be at peace with that every day and your goodbyes are never for you. They're for someone else.
And so I can't help but be curious that as she's describing, you know, her tracking you, you know, watching this tactically, what were you hoping for her to do with that information?
So what we do with that information is we use it to help with the warrants for the arrest and for the complete shutdown of the clubs and of the establishments that we're going into. So what she does, another part of it, is when we stop, she has the amount of time that we're in that building doing that raid to drop coordinates. And then we maintain those coordinates and she'll track how many victims were pulled out of certain locations and if there were weapons, how many weapons and stuff like that. So if we end up needing to re-raid that location or if we need to use that in our evidence for the warrants we get for the arrest of these nightclub owners, we're able to pull from her information and say, or, you know, we're going to go back into this building and last time there were weapons, now we're going to carry bigger weapons. We're going to prepare for that. So, and we know what areas they're in. So,
wow, there's a lot to this that, you know, yeah, a lot of us would never even think about, you know, organizing. But I'm curious, in your case, Tori, you joined the Marine Corps, similar. What would you say the Marine Corps added to the way God trained you for this, for such a time as this?
Yeah, I maybe can speak to that a little more for Tori. So Tori's humble about her Marine Corps experience, but one thing I'll always say about her is she thought for herself in a good way in the military. She was a problem solver and she would solve problems that you didn't even know were there. So she finds the most effective way to do anything. She really went above and beyond as a Marine, and she'd never brag about herself, so I have to. But she's a thinker, and her experience in the Marine Corps and working with her side by side there is why I trusted her for this position. So you can expand on that, but I know you won't brag about yourself.
No, I won't. Yeah, I guess the way that I was trained to be able to help Ren out when she's over there is just, I mean, it kind of just touches on what I said before about taking the emotion out of it and just doing what you have to do. And I mean, that's really it, is that, you know, there's a job to be done and it's going to get done. And for me to be emotional about it isn't going to help anyone. So those emotions are there, but I don't know. I think that's the best that I can say.
I
is really
but
that.
The cool thing is I'm sitting back here just looking at the situation going, it's interesting to me that there's only two women involved in what, you know, what it is that we're doing. And so, you know, from your perspective, you know, Ren, why do you think God called women into the, you know, because it's very obviously a lot of times you're dealing with women and you obviously bring a perspective as a young woman that there's no way that I could have.
Yeah. So I definitely think being a female is really beneficial to this. And it's kind of funny because we go on the raids and we wear face masks when we go on the raids. So the girls don't know until we get back that I'm a girl. And we take off our gear and they see me and they realize what just happened. And it's better for them to connect with me, and they're more willing to come over and hug me and tell me their stories and talk to me through an interpreter. And having her as well, that's why she feels so passionate about this. I know Tori feels that way for the victims as well. So I know she's always watching, and I know she's not going to let us down because she's got that heart as well.
How about you, Tori, from a female's perspective, you know, what do you see that I think is unique about Ren's position here?
Well, you know, they say women are nurturing by nature. And the day after, you know, I was watching over them, I got a text message from Ren, and it was a picture of her hugging one of the victims from the night before. And I think that was, if the emotions didn't set on previously, they really hit me hard then. But the men on the team, when they're over there, you know, they're not really able to nurture the female victims. You know, there's both male and female victims, but the female victims, as much as Ren is able to do that, to step in and to be able to hug them and take care of them a little bit more than, you know, than the man can on the team. So I think that definitely is a role that she can play as a female on the team, but just like the males, she's able to do all of the other stuff as well. So it's really cool to see that she's able to do both of those things. You know, like she said, she's wearing the mask when she goes in there, and they don't know that that she's a woman, but she rescued them all the same. And I think that it also, you know, gives them hope to see, you know, you're a woman and you just rescued me, and, you know, you take your mask off, and it's like, I feel like if I were a victim and I saw that, I would be like, I can do anything almost. You know what I mean? I feel like that gives them a little bit of hope as they're being rescued, that they don't need to live their life like that.
That's beautiful. Absolutely. So as you're listening today, you're thinking, wow, what can I do? Well, God's pricking your heart in a certain way, and you can tell these people have taken that where God's leading them and putting feet on it and walking with God in that. That might be praying for the team today. We had both Ren and Tori, and you can see they both need our prayers. And the team, again, if you can go to lanternrescue.org and, you know, help them out financially, they sure could use that. And we appreciate really very, very much you listening today to Lantern Rescue.